Hello, this is Gina Denick-Champion, and I'm the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, and we're very pleased to bring this webinar to you. WNA has been involved in looking at the concept of patient-centered team-based care in Wisconsin. We've developed a conceptual model. The model builds upon existing and emerging work of many partners in Wisconsin. We've looked at national pieces of information that begin to look at this whole issue of healthcare transformation. We find that patient-centered team-based care is one of those models that is beginning to gain traction in Wisconsin. WNA, in collaboration with a community of partners and reviewers, developed a model where we would like to share with you the findings of an interview we conducted with a variety of health system leaders to look and identify their work related to team-based care in Wisconsin related to chronic disease management. I am pleased to present our presenter. Her name is Pamela Myrie. Pam is a master's degree in nursing. She is an advanced practice nurse prescriber and a certified diabetic educator. She serves as the grant consultant to WNA on this very important work. So without further ado, I welcome you to the webinar.
Welcome. My name is Pam Myrie. I'm a nurse practitioner and a certified diabetes educator, and I've been a nurse for about 30 years. I've done just about everything in nursing, from outpatient to inpatient, med-surg, emergency room, and endocrinology, diabetes as a specialty. We're going to talk today about the interview results from Wisconsin's healthcare system's use of team-based care for chronic disease management. As we look at the talk today, we're going to look at team-based care and in-depth interviews that we did with a number of Wisconsin healthcare systems. We'll follow a background and overview, a definition of team-based care. We'll look at the interview findings, next steps, and some discussion and questions. In terms of background and overview, the purpose of conducting these interviews was to get a snapshot of team-based care across the state. We developed a semi-structured interview guide with primarily open-ended questions. These questions looked at a high-level overview of the health system and the interviewee's role, team-based care in general and how it is utilized, a health system-specific way of looking at team-based care implementation. We hope to capture the how, why, and to what extent team-based care is being utilized in the different health systems. Our timeline started the end of March and into April when we developed and finalized the semi-structured interview guide with complimentary handouts and worksheets. In early May, we piloted the interviews with a physician and nurse practitioner who did a team-based care diabetes project in a family practice setting. Then we went about to recruit and interview 8 health systems. We developed the interview format, and this included an in-person interview, which was audio recorded and notes taken during the interview. The average interviews lasted approximately 2 hours. We took notes during the interview, and post-interview, these notes were checked for thoroughness and completion, and a compiled summary was done. This PowerPoint is part of that compiled summary. The interviews were done using a grounded approach coding. As we did this project, we looked at a definition of team-based care provided by Mitchell et al. 2012. Mitchell explains that team-based care is the provision of health services to individuals, families, and or their communities by at least 2 health providers who work collaboratively with patients and their caregivers to the extent preferred by each patient to accomplish shared goals within and across settings to achieve coordinated, high-quality care. It was interesting as we conducted the interviews to find out that most of the health systems truly didn't have an identified definition of team-based care. So the responses tended to vary. Many people think that team-based care just means working together. Others may think that it means access for anybody. So as we looked at our findings, we have these main 4 categories: barriers and factors related to team-based care, successes and benefits, team members that are involved, and the workflow and design. Let's start with the barriers and factors when implementing team-based care. And as you know, barriers can be small, just like in the photograph, or they can be very large. One thing to note as we go forward in the presentation, the black and bulleted items are the main themes that came across in many of the interviews. The smaller blue text are examples of what those themes are comprised of. It was so interesting to note that many of these themes were consistent across interviews. So some of the barriers: lack of standardization and evidence-based protocols, lacking that uniformity, evidence and definitions, how things roll in terms of having roles, structure, care, workflow, and the care team. Another thing is that having that team culture and care team relationships. So much of our healthcare right now is a hierarchical structure, and physicians sometimes have trouble relinquishing work. The importance of building that trust, collaboration, and historically, healthcare has been very siloed. One of our participants said, "Silos of care do nothing but perpetuate error. We have to have team-based care. We can't just have one physician providing his care, one nurse providing that care, a pharmacist in his pharmacy providing care. It has to be a collaborative approach. People on the care team definitely feel more like partners and not subservient. Together, we can provide care for patients with all the minds and all the wisdom together versus one." There's also some difference in training and education and the importance of having that mutual respect and the entire team engagement. Another barrier and factor involved is the staff capacity. Do we have the quantity of staff needed with the correct skills and knowledge? Do we have the roles and positions that we need? Many of the participants talked about a lack of training in lean processes and flow because you can't do this team-based care without looking at those items. It's important from a barrier standpoint to demonstrate value. Payers, providers, the parent organization, all clinical and non-clinical staff are going to be important in demonstrating that value. Another barrier is that mentality of, if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it. Team-based care, we already do that. We've always done team-based care. We have to look at buy-in from the stakeholders, from leaders, from the providers, administrators, nurses, clinical and non-clinical staff, even patients, everyone, top-down and bottom-up. From the standpoint of patients, one of the participants noted that some patients actually don't want to see anyone else or anybody else on their visit. They want their provider to take care of everything in one visit. Others noted that for patients, it might be about the money and it might be about their time. For some patients, the barrier is their time and their travel. For others, it might be that need for prior authorization, especially things like diabetes self-management. Another one of the barriers is to note that traditionally, we're paid for episodes of care and not longitudinal, well-coordinated care delivery. Another barrier and factor is that investment and the financial. How do we put the money into team-based care and provide good care with that? Payment structure and reimbursement is also important, as we just noted. One of the participants noted that we have to have a model that rewards the team also, so that we can align incentives to reward the team and not just one provider. One of our systems has a model where if everything's aligned and the quality, cost, and satisfaction are met, the entire team is rewarded financially. Everybody buys into it then. And you're noting that there's a lot of barriers and factors, but these themes consistently came up. Another barrier, another factor, is organizational structure. The expectation for how many patients per physician are seen. Thinking about things like the accountable care organization. Resources, training capacity, the EHR and EMR access and availability, and hiring resources are important. Communication is a very important factor when we're looking at team-based care. How often we communicate, how we communicate, using that inclusivity and exclusivity, and transparency in communications. One person noted, people are social creatures, and we need to give them chances to talk to each other, and being in closer proximity increases communication. Several of the participants noted that they had co-location of the team members, so that RN and the provider and the MA are all in close proximity. It made a big difference in their care delivery. We also need to think about the physical layout and environment, the proximity to other team members, sharing working spaces and access to computers, and an area that's dedicated for communication, and other barriers and factors. Let's move on to some successes and benefits. When we think about the successes, The predominant themes that came out included staff and team satisfaction, patient outcomes and quality metrics, patient care and satisfaction, and communication. When we think about staff and team satisfaction, most of the participants noted that there was increased clinical and non-clinical staff satisfaction and collaboration. When you have people working and taking care of patients on a team, you have a sustainable work life, and you don't have to be the Atlas with all the world on the back. Another participant said, it's more fun. You have happier clinicians, and when you have happier clinicians, everyone together in the workplace feels better. Another provider noted that RN satisfaction, provider satisfaction, physician satisfaction all improved, and they saw an improvement in disease management scores, improved patient outcomes, and improved accomplishment of needed testings. One of the team-based care pilot actually showed physician production go up by 30%. They had better patient buy-in and better services with decreased wait time. One of the patients noted that it didn't seem like they were ever waiting for anyone because they were with someone on the care team throughout their whole visit. When we think about patient outcomes and the quality metrics, we noted improved health outcomes for each patient. Transparency that's understood by the entire team. Most of the health systems that did the team-based care shared their metrics with the whole team. Give them the data. Ask the questions. What happened? Why are we succeeding? Why are we doing less well? What are the reasons? They looked at that data. They looked at those metrics and provided the best practice. Those reports, those metrics, go all the way from top to the bottom so that each person on the care team has a voice in understanding what's going on and troubleshooting any problems. From the patient standpoint, one of the providers noted that the patients started to take things more seriously when there was another person that wanted to talk to them about their diabetes or their hypertension. Kind of like, whoa, this must be serious, this must be real, because my provider just met with me and now I'm meeting with somebody else to talk more about my control, how I'm going to do this. Several of the healthcare systems had RN care coordinators who support patient management. The patient gets connected with that RN coordinator, usually at a provider visit, and if not at that time, at another time, either individualized or face-to-face. At this time, most of the systems are doing that for free. As a bonus to patients, they can come in and just see that RN coordinator. They get very individualized care. The RN coordinators use motivational interviewing and they follow up on mutually set goals. Oftentimes, they touch base monthly on these goals. Another success and benefit is the communication. Most of the healthcare systems realized that they had improved communication with the healthcare team and with the patient amongst the healthcare team members. One of the ways they did this was utilizing a dashboard so that they can see, or so that every member on the care team can see how the patients are doing on getting the preventative care needed and on getting their regular diagnostics, such as A1Cs, different labs that are due, different immunizations that are due, and what follow-up is needed. Some more successes and benefits included increased and more comprehensive and timely tests being accomplished, those screenings, those labs that are needed. A consistent message across the board was making sure that we're utilizing top-of-license practice for all providers. With top of license, it's important to make sure that we further education and training, that we have advanced credentialing achieved as much as possible. Several of the participants noted that they're growing their staff, that some of the CNAs have gone on to nursing school, some of the nurses have gone on to become nurse practitioners or enrolled in medical school. RNs find that they're working with more complex needs in self-management, especially in diabetes and hypertension. When we're thinking about top of license and thinking about maximizing practice, at one of the healthcare systems, any patient on insulin that comes up with a higher than goal A1C gets an automatic referral to the pharmacist for insulin titration and adjustment. At another facility, they get an automatic referral to the care manager or the CDE so that that diabetes management is constantly being adjusted and improved. Another success and benefit is interprofessional collaboration, work groups, interaction, and community, and communication established or enhanced among multidisciplinary healthcare professionals. One of the participants had an idea with a very high-level vision of providing nurse practitioner hospital services in a small rural hospital. Despite resistance, they were able to take this high-level vision and implement it with the use of team-based care. Some other successes and benefits have to do with standardization of care, bridging to behavioral health, including the depth of roles and patient-centered medical home certification and recognition. Many of the facilities that we interviewed already have patient-centered medical home certification, and they utilize this and think about this, particularly when we're looking at team-based care. A very common theme was bridging in behavioral health, as this becomes such an important part of supporting patients in their outpatient care. Another success and benefit is looking at the EMR and the EHR and the health information systems and looking at those advancements and utilizing our EMR so that we can help patients get better care. We looked at best practice alerts that are built into the electronic medical record. Several people said that the tools are amazing and we can't do it without the tools. There's other places that are looking at new ways to use the patient portal. How can we enter in diabetes data? How can we enter in blood glucose results? Can we get clinical alerts out to the patient? Some of the facilities are doing that. In one health system, we actually had a patient who said, "Would you please document my foot exam?" because she continued to get this clinical alert on her My Patient portal. The MyChart advancements are also coming forward. We're looking at changing the MyChart access. In one of the health systems, they looked at MyChart from being available unfiltered only to the provider to now available to the whole healthcare team. The volume of questions addressed by CMA, RNs, and other providers cut down the volume by 50% to the provider, and thus, now they have a success that the MyChart inquiries are now addressed within 24 hours. This is a huge advancement by just utilizing team-based care. When we look at patient registries, it's another advancement with the electronic medical record that certainly helps with team-based care. However, one of the providers noted that the registry can be a negative and a positive. For example, a patient might have had normal blood pressure. It's been a number of years since that patient's been in. Now with the registry, staff are recognizing that patients haven't been in. They're contacting them and pulling them into the system. And now there's hypertension present. So it can be deceiving because now it looks like we've got a lot of numbers of people that aren't controlled. Actually, we're identifying these people earlier. We're getting them into the system. It's also important when we're thinking about that registry and thinking about the EMR to make sure that we clean the data. We need to think about the fact that your numbers can look poor if there's patients in your system that are no longer patients. Another way to use the electronic medical record is to build in systems and build in protocols. One of the health systems has a protocol built in so that when the physician enters the diagnosis of diabetes, the EMR queues up diabetes education for 3 visits automatically. This way to use the EMR definitely benefits the patient, the provider, the whole healthcare team. How now, brown cow? So what's the advice that we take from these team-based interviews? I know this is a busy slide. There's a lot of excellent information in here. We want to communicate effectively. We want to think about process, goals, strategies, and best practices. It's important to share wins quickly and often. Use stories. We want to strategically plan and gain knowledge. Talk with other people. Pilot test things or start small. And this was consistently heard across the health systems. Start small, start slowly, and develop team-based care definition beforehand, and develop goals and purpose, as well as some metrics and the successes that you might expect. Almost all of the health systems established a work group or committee to start things up, a steering committee, an advisory board, and paid attention to formal and informal leaders. It was consistently stated to engage and seek input from everyone, from leadership, financing, providers, patients, all the healthcare professionals, and the team members. Get buy-in from everyone also. Again, those same people. And establish that two-way communication. So communication was just consistently noted. One of the participants noted that team members are scripted to talk about preventative measures and to talk about the importance of the diagnostics that we do, such as the A1C. What does it mean when that A1C is lower? They find out that way we're all talking about the same thing, and patients are impressed that the MA, the RN, the LPN, and then the provider all are talking about that A1C and why it's important and why it should come down. The same thing with hypertension. A participant also noted that it's so important to have candor with respect, and notes that they regularly thank the MA, the RN, the lab person, in front of the patient, again, showing respect, showing an impressive team. In terms of getting buy-in from everyone, it's important that we value employees. They are the greatest asset. We now are beginning to think about physicians as a precious resource. This was also shared by a participant. Another participant noted that the recipe for quality is to engage patients, engage caregivers, and you get high quality outcomes. Lastly, educate and inform everyone on the team, everyone that's going to be around the team. Educate about the team-based concept, what changes we're going to do. Highlight the successes again. Share the wins at every stage, at every time. And provide a strategic plan. Make sure that you do training and follow-up. So next, in the interview process, we asked about team members and who was actually engaged in team-based care. You're going to see those team members listed on one of the slides coming up. The team members varied by each health system, and it ranged from 9 to 33 team members for each of the different systems. We provided a handout and a list of team members to reference, with the ability to add additional team members if needed. When you're looking at the slide, the least were 1 to 2 health systems identified these personnel. Some were 3 to 4 health systems, most were 5 to 7 health systems, and all were all 8 health systems. If you think back to that team-based care definition from Mitchell, it's noted that team-based care is provided by at least 2 health providers. So in some of the cases, team-based care was simply a pharmacist and physician, or a physician and a physician assistant, or a physician and a CMA. Next, we looked at workflow and design and the types of things that are needed to support team-based care implementation. One of the things that we needed to look at was what is the current model. And again, if we look at the current model, we don't have a model that rewards or incentivizes team-based care. When we think about workflow and design, we look at work groups. Interprofessional groups are committees that have a focus. The hypertension population provides us with a great focus for work groups made up of clinical staff, physician, pharmacist, analytics, and EMR designers. There's a high-risk patient focus in many of the facilities that's led by care coordinators and made up of RNs, pharmacists, and social workers with the physician or the provider component added. When you think about workflow and design, the protocols and standards of care make the team-based care work. Thinking about things like evidence-based guidelines, the fact that the use of a certified diabetes educator is evidence-based. Evidence shows us that involvement of a certified diabetes educator can get a 1.5% reduction in the A1C without addition of medication, just from the education and counseling and coaching involved. And as a side note, that's not just because I happen to be a diabetes educator. When we think about protocols, we think about hypertension readings, new diabetes diagnoses, and referral to behavioral health. These protocols and standards are needed. There's other protocols for anticoagulation and refill protocols that can be run by nurses and pharmacists with oversight so that we can take some of that load off of the provider. Another important factor in workflow and design is to have the support tools needed and have the EMR, the EHR, or the health information systems available and help us with team-based care. Items like smart sets, registries, telehealth, digiceuticals, and HealthLink, evidence-based algorithms that are built into the chart already, make it easier for us to do our jobs. More on workflow and design. Thinking about role responsibilities and top of license practice. What's the best use of that physician provider? What's the best use of the nurse provider, the APP, the MA, the dietitian, the pharmacist? Utilizing each of those person at top of license helps them utilize the top of their talents. Another participant noted that we also want to think about the things that each of those categories love to do. Some nurses are going to be best doing the triage. Some nurses are going to be best face-to-face with the patient, providing education. Both of them can be utilized at top of license, but just doing something that they're better at. In one of the health systems, the pharmacy leads and handles all hyperlipidemic and angiotensin receptor blockers and anticoagulation medications and or insulin titration based on protocols and based on top of their licensed practice. Another facility talked about RN triage and teaching, having that RN be highly involved in Medicare annual wellness visits. Another talked about MA completion of a template according to the chronic care condition. We want to think about team composition and dynamics, thinking about having a psychologist available on site, thinking about having that protocol for getting behavioral care. Pre-visit planning is another workflow and design issue. Many of the participants noted that they were able to provide chart review and contacting patients ahead of time before an appointment, looking for gaps in care, arranging for diagnostics to be done prior to appointment, having orders pended and ready for the provider, working as a team to get all of this done. Consistent with many of the participants was the idea of huddles, sometimes with a huddle sheet, sometimes with a huddle board. Often these are done daily, sometimes at the beginning of each shift, sometimes as issues arrive. Participation varied from everyone in the clinic to only clinical staff to sometimes the remainder of the staff without physicians or providers. Other places have chronic disease huddle where an entire team, the provider, the RN, the pharmacy, meet monthly to look at one specific chronic disease. Many of the sites have a daily huddle, and in one of the clinics, it's noted, they ring a bell and everyone comes running. Another important part is to involve the patient and engage the patient and family and think about patient satisfaction. It's also important to think about what really is a patient goal. One of the participants questioned whether an A1C range is really a patient goal, or is that a medical goal, or is that a system goal? In the lifestyle pilot for several of the systems, they have participants write their own goals and decide what it is that they want to do. In one specific setting, they have participants write their own epitaph. That really helps them identify their goals. Another system has it set in place that their policy is that every patient who walks out the door has a diabetes self-management plan in their hand. The patient doesn't leave the exam room without a follow-up card and a plan. In terms of workflow and design, transparency is important. Making sure that metrics, shared goals, patient outcomes are all shared all the way across that team. Important to celebrate successes. Talking again about having scripted talk for lowering A1C or for managing hypertension. Everyone saying the same thing about the importance of getting that blood pressure down. So what are the next steps? What are we looking at next? It's important that we go forward and utilize these interview findings. We want to continue the conversation. We want to continue to spread the news about team-based care across the state. It's important to note that the findings from these interviews very much coincide with the patient-centered team-based care model from Wisconsin Nurses Association. We're going to stay engaged. We're going to keep informed. We want to challenge each one of you to think about how you can take this information back and utilize it or integrate it in your own work and health system. As we go forward, we definitely want to say a huge thank you to the interview participants, and these people are listed on the last slide. As just a little bit of frosting for the cake, some of the little extras, believe in the unimaginable. We did it. Team Steps was an effective team-building program utilized in one of the health systems. Another system noted that Intermountain Healthcare was an amazing behavioral health model for team-based care, and this is out of Utah. Another interesting thought was a grocery walkthrough utilizing a dietitian that patients and family are welcome to attend. Another facility is doing an MA Academy, where they get information, education, speakers, updates, talk about burnout and vaccine and depression. The RN Academy is next. Extraordinary healthcare, one patient at a time. Treat employees as your most valuable asset and as precious commodities. Thank you very much for listening.